Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It's a holiday weekend. It's a special holiday weekend. It looks like some of our church family have chosen to go places and do other things. The crowd's a little light, but that's okay. We will all be blessed. Some of you may have noticed that the sanctuary and the church area looks a little different. We've had some challenges, and we'll be talking a little bit about that in detail in a couple minutes, just to bring you up to date. But before we do that, I'd like to welcome everyone here, and especially welcome our visitors. There are a few visitors, and we're so glad you're here to worship with us. And we're so grateful that that we have people that come even on a beautiful holiday weekend. We will be having our fellowship potluck lunch down at Holbrook Hall down the stairs. So if you see a visitor, make sure that you grab them and escort them, because we always have plenty of food and we want everyone to feel welcome and come down and fellowship with us. And while it may get a little warm and stuffy in the sanctuary, remember that that Holbrook has central air conditioning, and it's really a wonderful place to spend the afternoon. I have a couple announcements I want to go over, but while that's going on, I'd like to ask the deacons if they would distribute the church offices list now. You'll be getting that, and take a few minutes and review it during the announcements. And later on in the service, Pastor Steve will talk about it in a little more detail, and you'll have the opportunity to vote. So while that's going on, I just wanted to touch on a few announcements in the bulletin. One is the church is hosting a 4th of July holiday picnic, which will be Monday, July 4th, obviously, at Recreation Point in Bass Lake. And if you're not familiar with Recreation Point, it's essentially across from the Bass Lake Visitor Center on the what would be the southern edge side of the lake. On Road 222. There are some important details in the bulletin, so please take the time to read. We would really love to have everyone come. It'll be a wonderful time to get together and relax and enjoy the 4th of July fireworks. It is an all-day event, which means you're going to get hungry at lunchtime, or you're going to get hungry in the evening. There's a potluck planned for the evening, but you're pretty much on your own with a sack lunch for the afternoon. So plan your own lunch, but also plan to participate in the potluck for the evening meal. And we'll be there through the fireworks, which starts at 9 p.m. Note that parking is reserved. We have reserved parking for our church family, but you need to say the secret password to the gate minder at Recreation Point, and that information is in your bulletin as well. Even though this is still several weeks away, I wanted to make mention of a special concert that our church is hosting on July 30th. That's the last Sabbath in July. It's at 1:30, so it'll be after the church service and after potluck. And Rodney and Joy Lynn Abriol will be performing a vocal and piano concert. And they are friends of the Mindoros, very talented couple, and they are going to be blessing us with music. Again, that's the last Sabbath in July. And, of course, I mention it now because many people will be going to camp meeting, and so the usual method of making sure you get this information close to the event may not be as effective since so many people will be on the road. Let's see. Please take note of the budget figures in the bulletin regarding our church finances. And now I would like to call Pastor Steve up to give us a little update on the progress of the church.
Good morning. It is a good day outside, and we're happy for weather. It's kind of interesting to me because when I walked into the church, by the way, did anyone notice that it rained this week? And it wasn't just one of those little thunder shower rain things. It really reigned. And anyway, one of the first things you'll notice when you walk into the church is, one that I notice is it smells a little bit different. And then you notice that there's some signs of water. And I'd like to invite Ed Moore up here. He's the head of our building committee and has been working in this process. But here's a very, very important point. Though it may be the first thing that you notice that some things got wet in the church, it's really important that you look up in this room. Do you see that wood ceiling? There's no water stains and no leaking. It's okay. You can say praise God. You can say amen. If you notice our equipment and all the computer equipment in the office is all fine and dry. All of the sound equipment, all of that valuable equipment there, all dry and good. And so I just want to thank both of the contractors and our church members who worked like crazy, because who would have thought that we'd have an inch of rain 4th of July week preceding? Inch and a half, my bad, an inch and a half. And so we were caught by a storm. People were scrambling, plastic and tarp, and the contractor from Fresno came up and covered this part of the building. Ed was a big part of that, and he'll talk to you about it. But I just want to say that when I walk into this building and I see the sanctuary intact and our ceiling saved and all of our equipment, I just say praise God, and that is paramount in my mind in comparison to a few ceiling tiles and some things that happen in the hallways. So thank you, Jesus. And Ed will give you a few more details on progress and those things.
Yeah, as most of you do know, the building project is underway and it's doing well. We actually want to show you a few slides of part of the reason of this whole project going on. As you've been members of this church here for years, you saw stains in the ceilings in the back rooms. You saw stains in the hallways. We're in the pastor's office. Unfortunately, that was disgusting. It was, and it's not because of him. It was because of the ceiling. So what we want to do is just show you just a few of the pictures that we have taken here. As the roof was coming off, we found more and more damage than we even anticipated was up there. The crew was up from Fresno. They were ripping off the roof and tearing this all down, putting it in dumpsters. The air conditioning units, heating units, all came off the roof with a crane that came up and removed them. They're all sitting out there. Please don't touch them. We don't want them damaged in any way. So they're sitting in the parking lot area. This is some termite rot that we found up on the roof as well. So even the little critters have got in there, done damage. Now, as the roof was being worked on, three different times the people working on the roof fell through the roof. They just stepped through it because their plywood was so rotten. Praise the Lord, none of them got hurt, and they didn't fall all the way through. They just stepped through. But, folks, this is the reason why this project is going on. It has been too many years of neglect or lack of maintenance that needed to happen. So a lot of plywood had to be replaced up there on the flat part of the roof. Just places where it stepped through, rot from what's called dry rot from the water getting through there for years. We also had a few places where the actual rafters needed to be replaced as well because of rotting on that main structure as well. So our crews have been working hard during this last week. We did get delayed by a day by the weather problem we had, but it's coming along. The new fascia board started to come on. If you look in the very front of the church, you see the new fascia board going up. The plywood on the roof is just about completely done as well. And on this coming, go ahead and turn the lights back on now. On this coming Wednesday, the building inspector is going to be showing up on our site to do an inspection of all the plywood and all the roofing sub-stuff that has been put in place so that they will give us the go-ahead to start the roofing itself. So we're hoping to start Wednesday afternoon with the new roofing going on. Now, with that being said, the project is going forward. How many can say praise the Lord?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? How many of us saw on the news that we did get that people back in the Midwest and back in the East got hit by hurricanes, tore down churches, tore down houses? Didn't happen here, did it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord again. Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes all destroy things. We got a little water. You know what? If you look at the ceilings down the hallway, all that popcorn ceiling stuff, that's coming off anyway. So it didn't do anything to us there. The carpet is all going to be replaced anyway. And you know what? When the carpet gets wet and starts bubbling up, it comes up easier because it was going to be a struggle to take this glued down carpet off. The Lord helped us out, made labor a little easier for us by that happening. And so we want to look at those positive things. Yes, we did get a little bit happening, but it's not that bad, folks. Just a little bit to the eye right now, but it's helping us all to realize why we're doing this project in the first place, to make God's house a house where people will want to come and worship and see what the Seventh-day Adventist Church is doing in this community. Again, look up. Praise the Lord. Didn't it look good?
Amen.
The sanctuary was not damaged by the rot on the outside, the steep part. The water was able to rush off before. It's the flat roof part that we have trouble with, but it's getting fixed. And so, folks, I also would like to invite you to open up your bulletin and look on the inside here on the announcement time down on the bottom right-hand corner there. It talks about church family budget, and the next one says building loan. Our payment is going to be approximately $2,215 per month. And what does it say right underneath there? We received in June
$2,570. Amen.
Amen. That shows that we're going to be able to do this and make this happen, doesn't it?
Amen.
We've showed it that our first payment is not due until this coming, we're in July now, I guess, so it's coming up. But praise the Lord, the money's coming in, the project's getting done, it's going forward, everything's happening in the right way. So I want to also just mention one thing. When this water damage did come in on this lower area, we had a good crew of about 10 to 12 people of our church members came in here with vacuums and shampooers to suck up that water, and they worked hard. And people came in and only gave a few hours. People came in and gave all the day. They all worked hard together, and it was wonderful. And you know what happens here on Wednesday nights? There is a youth Bible study that goes on. Willie meets with a bunch of kids in the back. And there was approximately 10 to 15 kids that were here on Wednesday night. They came out of their Bible study, and they said, hey, we want to help. And they came out and helped run the vacuums and helped suck up water and dump the water. Picked up nails around in the parking lot, swept up things, moved things around. Those kids were fantastic. Willie had them out there doing stuff, and they were showing that they know what it's like to be a Christian. It's not just Bible study, it's service as well to God and to this church and to the people. So I think you all need to say, praise the Lord. It's happening, folks, and we're all happy and excited. Keep it coming. Keep it going. Keep praying. There's going to be more times where we're going to have some things going on. We're not going to pay contractors for everything that we're doing. We need help from you, physical help as well. That's coming up real soon. So rest up now so you have the energy to keep it going so we can get it done, folks. And hopefully in a very short time you'll have all the new carpeting and everything to be done. And we're all going to continue to praise the Lord on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. All righty. Thank you very much, Ed.
Lots of positive things happening. I was made aware of a prayer request, and I know that there are special needs that we all have on our heart, but one was brought to my attention. And it's appropriate that we mention this on this holiday weekend. There's a young man who's part of the Glazner family who's serving in the military in Iraq and was seriously wounded. I don't have his name, but... pardon? Chance was seriously wounded with bilateral leg injuries from I'm sorry, Kevin, an IED, which is the weapon of choice back there. So we need to remember him and all of the people that are serving to protect us around the world. And so why don't we bow our heads as we begin our worship service. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful that in spite of minor adversities that you help us persevere and you provide a blessing for every adversity. So, Father, as our worship service progresses, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be here, touch each one of us and bless us, not just throughout this day, but throughout the week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time now for us to have the opportunity to share a portion of what the Lord has given to us back to his ministry. This week's offering is for local church budget. So if the deacons would please stand. Father in heaven, we're grateful again for the blessings that you have given us in abundance. And we ask that you would bless the offering that we put forth today, that it would multiply in value, multiply in the work, and that it would hasten the soon coming of our Savior Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, it's time to come up. We have a special story for you. Miss Callie has a special story. So, children, you want to come up for your story?
If you'll excuse me for just a moment, I didn't get much breakfast, so. You know, my mom taught me it really wasn't very nice to eat in front of people. So here. Okay.
It's peanut butter.
Oh, I like these a lot. Maybe you should, like, turn around or something. I'm sharing my lunch, huh? Okay. Do you like bananas?
I already shared a sandwich, so.
I got one thing left for me. Raisins. All I've left is my lunchbox. Well, I guess I could give that away too. I like sharing, actually. It's kind of fun, but you know what? There's one person that didn't get anything. I got an idea. I could, like, share me. We could go play games together, hang out, do something like that. You guys like, let me think about that. Maybe I want the apple boar. Do you know, an amazing thing happened when it came to sharing. Heaven shared with us. And heaven didn't share just stuff. Heaven shared a person. Who is that? Who is that person heaven shared with us? Jesus. And you know what? Jesus is way better than stuff. And when you get Jesus, you get a lot of stuff, actually. It may not be stuff, but you get stuff that's better than that stuff. You get things like peace in your heart, and you get the fact Jesus is your best friend beside you all the time, listening, talking to you, helping you in your life. Jesus is the most amazing gift. And when we got Jesus, we got the best that heaven could give to us. It wrapped it all up in one gift and said, here's Jesus. And heaven wants us to take Jesus and accept that gift. You know, it's kind of easy to share our stuff, but sometimes it's harder to share ourselves. And we're going to hear a really cool story in a little bit about somebody that went and shared themselves. with some people way across on the other side of the world. So think about, you know, maybe when you go to school, I know it's not school time, but sharing your stuff is very important. But don't forget to share yourself with other people, okay? If you want to keep that stuff, you can. I might actually take my lunchbox back, but if you guys want to, if you want to share. I know, I'm like, Okay, let's just say a little prayer, and then you guys can go pick up the Lamb's offering. Jesus, thank you so much for giving us you. Thank you for holding nothing back when you gave us yourself. So would you help us to learn how to share ourselves with other people, and also how to share the stuff you've given us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, yes, we'd rather have Jesus. And it's an amazing thing that you gave him to us for all eternity. And he is a Savior that's come very near to us. And we're so thankful for that. For what will we be without Jesus? He's our best friend, our helper, our Savior, our enabler, our example. And help us to draw close to him. Help us to abide by the lessons that he taught. Help us to be pure in heart. Help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Help us to be peacemakers. Help us to mourn over our sins. Help us to be meek and lowly as a Savior, humble before you and before our fellow men. Help us to be poor in spirit. Dear Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to stand in our lot in these last days and fulfill the mission that you have for each one of us. And that we might be the last generation on earth. Help us to do the job you have us to do. We think of those that are in need, who are suffering under the burdens of despair or depression or disability, disease. Those that have requested help from you in the worship service before. And we think of also of Vicki Glazner's nephew, who is an Iraqi in the field of Iraq under American forces, who suffered a horrible injury to his legs and is even now in surgery. We ask you that he might get the very best recovery that's possible, and that he might rehab and come through this surgery well and have a positive attitude and know that you're his Savior and best friend, and that you will make all things right. And all that this world has failed to bestow on him, you will make up to him in the best of favors, and that this promise comes to each of us. We think of our world work, be with our leadership at every level, and guide us in this worship service. Be with Pastor Steve and Rochelle as they bring the word of life to us, and may our hearts be receptive. This is our prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
This week when it was raining in the morning, I came rushing over here to the church, and there were those who had beat me over here. Jim Gilbert was one of those. And the first thing that came to my mind was the fact that for the last many months, the church board and the building committee that Ed Moore chairs, we have been very, very clear that the first task at hand in the process of repairing our church is the exterior. It makes no sense to repair or change anything inside if it's going to get leaked on and damaged more. So we've been very, very clear that the first order of business is to get the roof fixed and the exterior sealed up so that we can even begin to think about the inside. And so there are a lot of ideas of where to start and what needs to be repaired most inside. And so the first thing that came to my mind when I came on the church grounds and it's pouring rain and there's rain dripping inside the building, and I said to Jim Gilbert, I think it was the first thing I said to him, I said, well, this is sure going to shorten discussion on the building committee on what's next. And and that was kind of the first thing in my mind. And then I saw Jim Gilbert just soaking wet, working, trying to continue to cover things up. Jim Hobbs was here. Roland Ott was here. He went into the Jim Brown Sabbath School classroom there where there's these ceiling tile that were getting wet and sagging. And he was looking at, wow, this is pretty bad. When at exactly that moment, the ceiling tile above him that held about 4 gallons of water fell directly on his head and soaked him from head to foot. He had to go into the community service cupboards, find some clothes, and put the rest of his clothes in the dryer in the room there and dry them out so he could put them back on. And there were others here. Mike O'Neill was here working like crazy. And so after the initial, well, this is going to shorten our committee discussions on what's next on the inside of the church, the next realization that I came to was these men love this church. Fans showed up. People showed up with shop vacuums, and everybody was willing to help. And, you know, Jim Gilbert's one of our contractors, and I just thought it's great to have a contractor who loves our church. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. If you were to ask me to provide for you a list of people who love our church, the list you hold in your hands would be it. I'd just hand you this list and say, if you have any questions, just see the amount of time and service they invest in people and in service of our church. These people love our church. There's a couple details before we vote that I'll just point out to you very simply. One is that if there are some clerical errors and some things that got overlooked in this, would you please give the committee a bit of just patience, because this list represents hundreds of phone calls and who said yes and who said no and who's called who and who called back and returned messages and such. So I would be very surprised if there's not a couple of things in here that you can come to me later and say, I think you should correct this, because this is a little not quite exactly, but it's the best we can do, right, Mona? The other thing is, you'll notice that there are some asterisks by names. These were the unfilled positions that we had last week, which are now fulfilled. But what needs to be understood is that if there's an asterisk on the name, this is a first reading, and we will add those names into the bulletin next week and vote those as a second reading. If you're not familiar with the process of how we do this, there's a first reading, which means you saw these names last week. You get to review them. You have opportunity to come and share with the nominating committee, because we don't take time for discussion or comments on the list in our church service, because we're about worshiping God in our church service. But we want opportunity for input also. So we simply vote, because we do want as many to be able to vote on a nominating list as possible. So at this time, I would entertain a motion to accept the nominating committee list as it's presented here. Is there a motion? All right, is there a second? Okay, second. All in favor, please raise your hand. If you're a church member here. All right, those opposed, same sign. And just please take this as a thank you vote for those of you who are serving on this list. So if you ask me, could you give me a list of people who love the church? What am I going to do? I'm going to hand you this list. Say, here they are. And I'm very grateful. This is 4th of July weekend. I lived in Bakersfield for about 8 years. And usually on 4th of July weekends, I'd try to find some excuse to be out of the city and into the mountains. And coming up 41 was one of those roads that I used. And so when I moved here, I thought, man, on 4th of July weekend, why in the world is our church empty? After a couple of years, and I noticed how many tourists come into this place on 4th of July weekend, Lindsay and Willie and I yesterday were scouting an area that they need to use for a youth event, and they're looking for a place to use this weekend where there aren't going to be people. We wound up driving over 4-foot snowbanks at 7,500 feet elevation, and Lindsay says to me, "Do you think we could winch these logs back across the road when we come up here this weekend?" Because in her mind, it's just like, what in the world? Where are we going to go where there aren't hordes of people? I was at the gas station, and a guy was filling a gas tank. He's from town, and I said, well, be careful this weekend. He says, yeah, I hope I don't get run over by somebody from L.A. And I drove down to Fresno yesterday afternoon, and there was a solid, packed line of cars coming up 41. And I now realize, after living here for 5 years, this is why people try to get out of town on 4th of July. So welcome to those of you who are here. Yay us for sticking it out through tourist season. As you know, Fourth of July is a holiday that celebrates freedom and how grateful I am for that freedom, especially as a pastor. Lindsay and I have been in India together where we were very clear that we could not, because of law, make an appeal for people to choose Jesus. We had to go about it in creative ways and facilitate unsolicited decisions and such because we knew that we couldn't just simply say, if you'd like to accept Jesus, now's the time. And in the United States of America, as a pastor, I get to say with freedom, if you'd like to accept Jesus, now's the time. And I'm so grateful for the sacrifice of those who have provided it. And this is a really important holiday. And so as I move into 4th of July every year, my heart starts turning to how grateful I am for freedom. And I knew that Rochelle Isaac had been on a mission trip, and there were all sorts of exciting things that happened to her there and those things. And Callie Wigg, who chairs our worship committee, had been talking to her about sharing that with us. And then Rochelle said something very interesting that caught my attention, and it had something to do with the fact that when they provided water for these people in a creative, interesting way, it gave freedom to those who received this water. And the Holy Spirit just started putting pieces together in my mind about the Holy Spirit, about the living water that Jesus provides and how that gives freedom and all of those things. And so I'm very grateful that Rochelle is willing to share with us this morning. Please listen, there's going to be a lot of other interesting things, but I'll share a bit after she shares. And so I want you to be listening for how water provides freedom, and we'll tie it together in the end. So Rochelle, thank you for sharing today.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
First, I'd like to pray.
Amen.
So, our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to go on a mission trip. Please bless the words that I'm going to speak and help them to be yours and not mine.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first, I'd kind of like to show you a video. It's about 6 or 7 minutes about, like, what we did, like how it affects the people there, because I know what it is, but it's hard for me to explain because all the technicality and stuff. So this video is of our he's our community service director at Rio, and so he kind of explains it more better than I can. So yeah.
What's that guy's name?
Steve. Considered all the many things we take for granted each and every day. Have you ever considered all the many things we take for granted each and every day? Like, for instance, water. We wake up in the morning and take a hot shower, not thinking twice about whether or not the water will actually come out of the faucet when we turn it on. Sprinklers water our lawns and landscapes. We have to keep our grass green, our trees growing, and our fountains full and flowing. It seems like water is available everywhere we turn, with bottled water at a convenience store, or even clean, fresh, cold water from a drinking fountain in the hallways of a school, mall, or office building. And if we think about it, how often do we find ourselves leaving the water running from a faucet as we tend to something else or put the dishes in the dishwasher? Or what about citizenship? Something as simple as having an ID card. A simple trip to the gas station to buy gas with a credit card could result in having the store clerk ask for your ID card. And we respond by opening up our wallets and handing it over. We're citizens. We can be identified. We have rights. And this is kind of expected. And how about the most basic sense of safety and freedom? As parents, to know that you can provide for your children their basic needs, that they can be safe from predators and the worries of adulthood, and to know where they are, whether or not they're being cared for, to be able to choose where we live and to ensure that our children have access to an education, to be granted basic human rights and be counted as a whole person. Most of us don't wake up in the morning and consider these things. That's just normal everyday life. But consider for a moment the many people in the world who wake up every morning and dream of having these things so many of us take for granted. The Hill Tribe people of northern Thailand are one such group. In this region, nearly 9 million people live below the official poverty line of $1.60 per day. Many of these Hill Tribe peoples are still without full citizenship or land rights due to very poor literacy, limited knowledge of Thai law, and being outside of the range of government services. This lack of citizenship limits access to medical care, property ownership rights, education, and the right to travel outside of their district of residence. These Hill Tribe communities are also targeted by human traffickers, offering employment in local towns for girls and young women in exchange for large upfront payments to parents that the girls have to work off. For families deeply in debt, this is an attractive offer. However, many of these girls are then trafficked or coerced into the commercial sex industry far from their homes. Those that eventually make it back home often suffer from severe emotional and physical trauma, STDs, and HIV. And at the most basic level, many of these villages lack a clean water supply and experience water shortages during the dry season. In March of 2010, Rio Lindo Academy staff and students traveled to northern Thailand and the village of Ban Pakia to assist ADRA in their inter-area development project. Our main goal was to construct a gravity-fed water system in the village. We collected and filtered water from a mountain source, dug 5 miles of trench, and laid pipe the entire way to the village storage tank. Our efforts ensured clean water for the village and adequate water to last through the dry season. ADRA continues to work with the village members through literacy programs and citizenship advocacy. They are also helping the village develop a market product through better agricultural practices. All of this helps to ensure the safety and freedom of the village families. When the village has water, quality of life and agriculture improves. With citizenship and a marketable product, poverty and debt decrease. And when poverty and debt decrease, families are less vulnerable to human traffickers, and the girls of the village are kept safe. And it all starts with water. And now here we are in the village of Ban Makampom. We're here doing the same project again, but even more this year. We've traveled back to help dig the trench and lay the pipe from one tank on one side of the village to a tank on the other, to supply lines to each home so they can have drinking water themselves. We've dug trenches around the village to supply water to every single home. We brought a dentist back with us again this year. We've traveled to villages in this surrounding area and provided free dental clinics again. Every day we've been having vacation Bible schools and just loving on the kids of this village. We've also traveled to KGS, which is Keep Girls Safe, a program that ADRA has here in northern Thailand for highly at-risk girls at risk of being trafficked. We went there this week, we took our kids there, and we constructed a playground. We built swing sets, seesaws, a tire wall, and a tire tower. We were able to see the kids throughout the week begin to look at what we were doing, and by the end of the week, they were playing, smiles on their faces. We were swinging with them and doing on the seesaw with them. It was a great experience. Throughout this week, we've been working really hard, digging, laying pipe, working hand in hand once again with the villagers. And we've completed everything that we've set out to do. What's left is for the villagers to finish the work that they do on their own, finishing to construct each tank. And hopefully in 1 year's time, every household in this village will have clean, fresh drinking water. They'll be able to stay healthy. They'll be able to work here in their village and not have to travel out to get water. Ultimately, the children of this village will stay safe and the people of this village will stay healthy. It wouldn't be possible for us to come to this place without the support of all of you who have contributed both financially, with your prayers, and with supplies to help us come and make this possible. We just want to say to all of you who have helped us, staff and students at Rio Lindo Adventist Academy, come here to Northern Thailand and make a difference. To you, we say thank you.
Okay. There should be some slides, hopefully. Or can't? Okay. Okay, so if I was in Thailand, I would be like this, and I would go, Sawadika, because that's showing respect to you guys. And all the cultural stuff was really interesting, and at first I was kind of scared, but because in Thailand, they have this thing that you save face, and so you don't really, you don't say if something bothers you. You just kind of smile and, like, you know, you don't say anything because you don't want to make them, you know, look bad. And so it was kind of nerve-wracking at first. So when I first, actually how I first started going to Thailand was I didn't think I'd be able to go because it cost a lot of money, and I was like, oh, I don't think I can go. But actually a friend of mine signed me up, and I was like, what? I can't. There's no way. And so I started talking to the pastor, and she said, well, just try. Just watch what God will do. And so I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And so I wrote letters, and the money came in, and it was amazing. Like, there was no way I could make that, have that much money, but God impressed people, and they provided for all the money in a very short time. Okay, you can go to the next slide. Traveling, it was awesome. I love flying, and so we flew from San Francisco to Seoul, Korea, and that was like 13 hours, I think. It was the most I've ever been on a plane. And then we flew from there to Bangkok, and then we stayed there for a little while. You can go to the next slide. And it was really awesome flying. Next slide. This was a school that we stayed at. This is where, in Bangkok, we a teacher from Rio had moved to Thailand to work at a school there, and so we stayed there so we could rest up and recuperate. Next slide. And we were having worship here and talking. Next slide. Then there was the train ride. We were all so tired. So out of the 14-hour train ride, I think I slept probably about 12 hours. So that was cool. Next slide. Yeah, that's the train. Next. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, and then after all that traveling, and we got off the train, and then we got in buses, and we drove. And, you know, in Thailand, you don't have to wear seatbelts. That was really strange at first, you know, kind of looking for it, and it's like, oh, it's not there. You don't have to worry about it. And actually, in Thailand, their license, or whatever, you have to take the test or something, it's, their policy is use your best judgment. So, you know, it's pretty crazy. This is our village of Mekampong. I don't know if I said that right, but it was really pretty village. And the amazing thing about, like, we got there, and only a couple days or maybe a day before, it had been raining, and when we got there, it wasn't raining. And so that was just amazing. Next slide. When we got there, we kind of lined up, and they put us in groups, and we kind of got ourselves in groups, and the people of the village just took us in like their family. They let us come in their house. This was my house. Next slide. And they provided a place for us to sleep, and it was, they kind of, the, I can't remember her name, but the mother of our house, she was like all worrying over us, and, you know, she kind of put us to bed and stuff, and it was like, it was just, she was so sweet. Next slide. This is their house there. The other part is up there. And next slide. This is my house mother and her daughter, Preo. And my friend still keeps in contact with her on Facebook. Next slide. We did a couple of different things there, but one of the main things was VBS. We did crafts and stuff with the kids. We sang songs, taught them English songs, and just had a good time with them. Next slide. Next slide. One of the things we did was color with them, and there was this one time when I was trying to get this kid to, you know, hey, you want to come color? And, you know, you can't really, I didn't know how to say it, but I just tried to show him, and he didn't really want to, and I was like, oh, okay. And so I took one of the papers, and I made, like, a paper airplane, and I gave it to him, and he all looked happy and, like, ran off, like he was going to go play with it, and it was really cool. Next slide. Next slide. As you can see, like, on the edge there, that's all the pipe that we were going to lay. That was fun. Next slide. Up on right there is like a loudspeaker thing that they like make announcements to the village, and they called the kids for VBS through that and stuff. All that pipe right there, we, well, not all of it, but a lot of it we took up to a hill way up that way. And the first day, we all worked on the pipeline at first, and we were digging the trench, and we hauled a bunch of pipe up to the top and then started digging and coming down. I was a part of the group that was working on connecting the pipe so that they could have water down at the lower parts to make the dirt softer. But it was already kind of soft because the rain had kind of softened it up for us, so that was really cool. Next slide. That's just the other part of our village. My house that I stayed up in was up that way, and down in this part was kind of our meeting area where we ate and stuff. Next slide. This is the KGS. This was the place we were working on to keep girls safe. We built a playground and stuff because they didn't have, there was nothing there first, and we mixed cement, which is by hand, you know, that was great. The tools there, like, it was, the tools weren't very, you know, they just didn't seem to work very well, and so all the stuff was going really slow, and it was really tedious, and a lot of this stuff, like, you know, when you go on a mission trip, you do a lot of things that you never think you can do before. Well, when I went there, I was working on something, and I was screwing a bolt, and I kept screwing it in, and it broke. And I didn't even know you could break a bolt. And it was just like, oh, wow, I guess you can do a lot of things you didn't think so. Next slide. We built swing sets, teeter-totters, and, like, stuff like that. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. This was inside. The dentist that went with us, he held, like, a dental thing that he showed the girls about, like, how their teeth worked and stuff, and I learned a lot. yeah, that was really cool. There at KGS, when we were also working, it was really hot and stuff, and the girls would always bring us water and always want to help, and they would like bring us food, and they would like feed us, you know. It was really funny, but it was really sweet. Next slide. After we kind of completed it during the end, we were kind of celebrating and stuff, and we ate there, and the girls did, like, kind of a dance thing, and it was really, you know, kind of in celebration of what we had done, and for us, they gave us, like, a show, and it was really cool. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. I was sitting there, and I was taking a couple of pictures of them, and they looked so happy, like, you know, they were just, maybe they didn't have much, but they had joy, and that was really amazing. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. The guy with the red shirt, he was one of our directors, and the guy sitting next to him, he is the dentist, and they worked really hard on this. Next slide. Next slide. I don't have a lot of pictures of the work that we did with the pipeline because I didn't want to get my camera, like, all dirty, so I didn't really bring it. And so I was just going to share a little bit about that. We dug a lot, they don't have shovels. They have, I don't know what they're called, but they, like, have this little square thing, and it's just on the end of a thing, and they were actually making them, which was really cool because you could see them make them. And they showed us how to dig, and we dug for most of the time, and then we also glued it together and then buried it. And all along the way, when we were gluing it, the kids would, like, follow us, and they would have our water, and they would take it from us, and they would just walk along, and then whenever we'd stop or something, they'd just give us the water, and, like, we weren't even saying anything. They just like, you want water? Here. It was really cool. After we were done with most of our work, we had been working throughout the whole week. I worked on several different spots. We went to KGS. We worked on the pipeline, and other people worked on building the water tanks, and we just had a bunch of different projects going on. And dentistry, we went out to another village and I worked with the dentist, and we worked a whole day helping other people in another village. And then at the very end, our village threw a party for us, and right here they're making a special type of kind of rice cake stuff. It was very interesting. It was kind of sweet, but not entirely, and I couldn't eat too much of it, but it was good. So next slide. They did a lot of preparing for this. Like, it was like a really big feast. They made a bunch of food, and they invited people from the other village that Rio had helped last year to come. And it was just a really big celebration about how we were starting. We gave them the start to begin the process of being able to have a water system so that they can get citizenship and they can have just a better way of living, you know, with clean water, better health. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. That's them just making the stuff. Next slide. It looks kind of gross at first, but next slide. And you just kind of eat it with, it was like sugary stuff, and you just eat it. I mean, you don't cook, they cooked the rice, but it was just, you know, it was really interesting. Next slide. Next slide. And that was, this was not the picture of the feast, because my camera was dying. It was really irritating, but this was a picture of the food they were making us there. During the work process, we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the ladies there prepared the food for us, and it was really good, and the mango was amazing. I loved it. Next slide. They had a lot of watermelon and other stuff. I don't know what it is, but next slide. This picture, this lady, they, when we were celebrating, this was like their celebration costume or whatever, and it was really heavy. It was like the top, the head of it is just like, I don't know, I thought it was like 15, 20 pounds itself. It was really crazy. Next slide. Next slide. This is a swing thing that they make in celebration times, like, harvest or something like that. And so they built it for us, and it was really fun to swing on. You're supposed to, you swing on it, but you're supposed to sing a song while you swing on it. And next slide. next slide. It was really a lot of fun. And next slide. Next slide. That was our chief. He was a really cool chief. There's this game that they played. It's like, you know, it's kind of like hacky sack, but it's like volleyball and hacky sack mixed, and it's really weird. But he was playing it with them, and it was really cool. Like, the chief, he would get in and involved with the people in his village. He was really a cool guy. The guy taking a picture right there, his name was Wynn. He was our translator, and our pastor and her husband they're trying to be able to have him come to Rio and so he can share and stuff about what's in Thailand and stuff. And so they're still working on that, but we'll hopefully maybe he'll be able to come sometime. Next slide. Next slide. And there's a swing again. They like cut down like these trees, and like, and we were wondering what they were doing, you know, and then the next day there was like this thing, and we're like, oh, what is that? And then Wynn explained to us what it was and stuff. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. The girl on the left is the daughter of our hostess and their family. Her name was Pleo, and that's my friend Seraphie. Next slide. They had like traditional dancing and stuff they did to celebrate for us. Next slide. Next slide. The chief like was talking to us because like they translated it, but he told us how much he appreciated it and how they want us to come back and everything. It was really cool. Next slide. Also, in the earlier beginning of the week, we had gone to the village that Rio had gone to the year before, and this girl, I don't even know her name. I don't know anything about her, but like one of my friends, she had gone last year, and she was like around this girl, I guess she had known her last year, and she kind of gave her off to me because she wanted to go talk to other people and stuff, and this girl just clung to me the whole time we were there. It was really amazing. And she had complete trust in me, and like just because we had been associated with people from Rio last year, that how that affected them and made an impact. We went to that village and they celebrated. We were able to see the finished product of last year's project. The water system was completed. Everything was done. And so we saw that, and it was really amazing about how God blessed that village and how I know he's going to continue to bless our village of Mekampong. I really want to thank you guys for supporting me and going. It's really an amazing experience to go on a mission trip, and I'm hoping to go next year. I don't know if we're going back to Thailand, but if we are, then I hope we can bless people again through God's help. He really provided abundantly for this village, and I know he will continue to. So I just want to thank you, and in their language, Gulahuma.
Thank you, Rochelle. If you are someone who takes notes, you could probably write this down and it would be enough for the rest of today. That is that water/cleansing equals freedom. If you have ever been hot and dusty and grimy, the sight of cool, clear, clean water coming down through a pipe is unresistible. So water/cleansing equals freedom. And if you'll turn to John chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 3. John chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to read quite a few verses, so get your Bible out or look at the screen. John chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 3. It's a familiar story to you. Jesus and his disciples are traveling. They're going from one place to the other. And it picks up in verse 3 and says, "He," this is being Jesus, "left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, and near there was ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour." One thing I would point out to you is that Jesus was weary and he was tired, and there was water there, but somehow inaccessible to him. In this world, without Jesus, we can be nearby water and freedom, a cleansing, and it can be inaccessible to us. And the story goes on. So verse 7 says, "There came a woman of Samaria," you know this story well, "came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Verse 9, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him," and you know the cultural riff between Samaritans and Jews and the prejudice and all of those things. So she says, "Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, 'If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink of water," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" So Jesus says, you think this water's great. You ought to try living water. Verse 11, she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Verse 12, "You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you?" That's kind of a cute question. "You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you?" Well, yes, actually, I am. "Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle." Verse 13, Jesus, in patience, answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Verse 16, very interesting. He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And you can read the rest of the story there. Jesus makes a point in this passage that you can't have the water of life without it cleansing you. Let me just say that one more time. You can't have the water of life, this well springing up, eternal water of life, bringing joy and freedom. You can't have it without it cleansing you. So Jesus, in that simple change of subjects, bring your husband, said this water only happens if you let it cleanse the areas of your life that are bringing bondage and sin. So let me just say this in the 3 or 4 minutes we have left. I believe this is illustrated well in our democracy and highlighted on 4th of July weekend. Think about it for a minute. Democracy is the ability of people to cleanse government. In other words, freedom is maintained by term of office. The freedom we enjoy has been maintained because of democracy and the ability for government to be cleansed regularly. And it's the same thing in a lot of other areas of life. Simply put, what about social freedom? Let me just say that if you smell really bad and haven't bathed for a long time, if you shower with some sweet-smelling soap, your social freedom will accelerate at a rate that you have not experienced before. Because cleansing brings freedom. Freedom is maintained by cleansing. Cleansing equals freedom. So the woman at the well would have never experienced freedom if the water of life had not cleansed her of the junk that had built up in her life. The woman at the well would have never experienced freedom with the water of life that Jesus provided if she had not allowed it to cleanse the junk that had built up in her experience. And so Jesus said, what about your husband? Paul in Romans verse 116, in chapter 1 verse 16 is really clear. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul basically, Steve paraphrase, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it has the ability to clean me up. That's the story of Paul's life. That this living water, cleansing, brings freedom. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it cleans me up and it brings freedom. Delinda and I, before the kids arrived, would run up to a place up by Courtright Reservoir, up out of Shaver Lake, past Dinky Creek, and we do this four-wheel drive Jeep trip thing, and it's really long and it's dusty, and we're not very big fans of that trail because it's so dusty. And coming out of Courtright Reservoir, Lindsay knows where this is, I think, you come out of there, and on your way back down the hill, on the side of the road, there's a bridge, and just a little ways up is a waterfall. And we would always stop because the feeling of going from being dusty, grimy, greasy, dirty on the trail to the cleansing of that cold, clear, cool waterfall, you have to feel it to believe it. Because the difference in the way you feel is amazing. And I think one of the best words to describe it, going from being dirty to being clean, is to go from being in bondage to being free. And cleansing does that. So, here's the closing thought. Are you missing out on freedom because you're resisting a cleansing in an area of your life? Are you missing out on the freedom that the water of life can provide because when it comes to allowing God to cleanse you, you're holding back on Him in an area of your life? And I don't know what it might be for you. I wrote down a couple of things just to get our minds moving. Bitterness. If you don't let the water of life flush that out, bitterness and unwillingness to forgive someone, you'll miss out on a freedom that God longs to offer. Maybe it's greed or wishing for more, always grasping for something more. Maybe it's just plain and simple that you love the world more than things of God. And you miss out on the freedom that God offers because you resist a cleansing. And maybe it's simply defined as sin, and you know what it is, or an addiction. And you know that God's Spirit has been wanting to cleanse that out of your life. If you allow Him to cleanse your heart, you will experience freedom in a way that you could never, ever have any other way. Last text, John chapter 19. By the way, the story of Jesus has basically passed in those pages, and Jesus has gone through the trial, and He's now been crucified for you and I, because He wants to offer this cleansing and freedom to you and I. So John chapter 19, verse 32. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him, Jesus. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Verse 34, the most poignant picture of Christ's ability to cleanse, to forgive and to cleanse and offer freedom. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. The forgiveness symbolized by the blood of Jesus, being able to cover whatever's in the past, whatever's gotten you dirty in life, and water, the ability for Him to cleanse you and me. So without further ado, don't let this 4th of July freedom holiday pass you by without letting Jesus cleanse you. Don't let this weekend pass without letting the water of life, Jesus, cleanse you. Because if you let Him cleanse you, you'll experience freedom in a way that only He can provide. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for providing the water of life. And Lord, as your Spirit speaks to each of our hearts, the things that we've been clinging to, the things we've been holding out on, areas that we've been resisting a cleansing for whatever reason, I pray that we would be like that woman who sat at the well so many years ago. That we would be open to you cleansing. That we'd be honest with the reality of our life. And we would come to you, allowing you to cleanse us, and say, please give us that water of life. And thank you for the freedom you offer. In Jesus' name.